house, I got a call that Jeff Ewing, who has a great message that's really on his heart to share, was ill and couldn't speak tonight. And so I didn't get home till about 3 o'clock, 2:30 or 3 o'clock, and I had about from then until now to figure out what to do. That's never happened to me before. I've always had a message. And so as trusting God, God lead me, you know, in, because we should always be studying our Bible and always have something that's been on our heart. So I'm literally going to share with you something tonight that is not a message. I've never constructed it as a message, but I asked God, I said, there's three different things I might want to talk about, God. What is your Holy Spirit saying to do? And I was trusting him that I could soar on the wings of an eagle and figure out the message without flapping my wings like a nutcase. Okay? And then Vicky and the team used this song, and just some of the words in it resonated with a passage of scripture I'd been studying and reading, not for the purpose of a message, but just gone there. For some reason, God led me there. And if you look at the words to this song, it says, come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we are made. Is anybody like me, and you may not think that I still do this, but I actually do. Does anybody ever wake up in the morning and say, God, why am I here? Am I the only one that still does that? Anybody else? Go through life and say, God, what is the real reason for my existence? If you click it again, Tim, there's a couple more. I thought, yeah, come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildflower and very soul. Holy Spirit, invade us now. One more time. There's another slide coming up that has really cool words. Keep going. Okay. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. Refuse to waste our lives. One more. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, we're at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. Something happened to me a few days before Christmas that really opened my eyes to a spiritual truth. And what I'd like you to do, if you have your Bibles, is to turn with me to 1 John, way at the back of your Bible, right before Revelation. We have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Go to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to pick it up at 1 John 5:18. But before we do, I'd like us to pray. Father, we come before you this evening and we thank you that there is a kingdom that we can live for. We thank you that there is a Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that can invade us. We thank you, God, for the things that we so often take for granted. As we rush through life and as we deal with all the pressures and problems that life brings, we so often take for granted the reason that we exist. And so I pray this evening, God, that you would solidify just one basic point about the reason for our existence. Just help solidify for us, Lord Jesus, this one basic point about the true cosmic battle that's taking place every second that we live. And help us to refuse to close our eyes to what you're trying to do in us. Just work in us this evening, Lord. We know that for whatever your purposes are, you have done things today as you will. And we pray for Jeff and others who are suffering with different viruses and illnesses. And Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that the message that you have this evening would be for the people that you have gathered. We give it all into your hands and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18. Now, before we read verse 18, just know that you remember James and John, before they were changed by Jesus, were known. They had a pretty rough nickname. I think it could be one of my nicknames sometimes. Only it would be, instead of son, it would be daughter. Does anybody know what their nickname was? Ben? Sons of Thunder. Yes. And it wasn't in a good way. It was like these guys had a radical temper. They were like type A personality, and they just wanted to deal with everything head on. And you find that John writes his epistles that way. He writes a lot in hyperbole or overstatement, and when we read it, we might think we aren't even saved. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. Anybody still saved? You know, this is rough. But he's making a very important statement, which ties to much of the rest. If we were to read the whole chapter, you would hear him talking about how the proof of our love for God is that we keep his commandments and that we love one another. But he's making a very vital statement. He says that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. Now, he doesn't mean that everyone who's born of God never sins or never fails or slips up as a human being. But he is very much saying that anyone who is born of God does not make sin the pattern of his or her life. You end up hating sin, and we'll get into that in a second as to why. So he says, everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who has been born of God, and when it talks about there, born of God, he who has been born of God, we're speaking of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus, who was born of God, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Verse 15, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Might not seem at face value to be a very uplifting scripture, but that's actually the main point of what I'm going to make tonight. We know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God and he is eternal life. So often we talk about our salvation or our eternal life as if it is an object. It's something that we have, or someday when we go to heaven, I'll have eternal life. Do you know that the minute we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have eternal life because he is eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So interesting that John closes out his entire letter with that one statement, little children, keep yourselves from idols. All right, so here's what happened to me one day. A few days before Christmas, I was walking through Target, Walmart, different stores, trying to finish up my Christmas shopping. And as I was walking through the stores, I really didn't need to buy too much more. And I really honestly was praying. I was going through the stores and I was saying, God, would you please lead me to a family in need? I'm sure some of you have done that before. I was like, God, if you could lead me like to the checkout and I could see maybe a mom with some children and it looks like maybe they don't have a lot, and you could just, by your Holy Spirit, show me that I could pick up the tab for their toys. Or, you know, get to the checkout and maybe find a family that you'll just see that they might need some money to get their groceries or a meal for Christmas. Please, God, just show me that. I was praying that. So I, you know, went to these various stores and I'm kind of pushing my cart around. I'm finishing up my shopping and I'm looking and it's nothing's like clicking in my heart. I don't really see anybody that I feel like God's leading me to. Go to another store. I'm like, God, please lead me. Please show me. And my whole point was, God, could you please show me a family to bless? And I'm thinking at Christmas time, it'd be nice to bless them with food or with toys, right? There's a lot of people struggling. Went to two or three stores, nothing. Didn't get anything. Holy Spirit didn't show me anyone to do that for. And so I left kind of thinking, man, God didn't really answer my prayer like I thought he would. And I was actually a bit disappointed. So I started driving home. And I came to a familiar three-way intersection, the one on Pennsylvania Avenue. Anybody know of it that comes to a T? Pennsylvania Avenue, and what's the road that goes into Westmoreland City? Brush Hill? Yeah. It's a three-way intersection, and I go there often. So I was coming to the three-way intersection, and my Taurus, you know, I'm at the one part of the stop sign, and I'm getting ready to stop. I'm easing on my brakes, easing into the stop, and across the way, directly across from me, a giant blue pickup truck is coming towards his stop. But as he's slowing down to get to his stop, I notice that there's a dog running beside his truck, a beagle. And it was a cute dog, maybe, you know, like this high off the ground. And this was a huge pickup truck. So I'm watching the beagle run beside the truck, and I'm thinking, that beagle's in a very precarious situation. He really shouldn't be running that close to the truck. And I really don't think that the elderly gentleman in the truck sees that he's there. So you know how you do. I'm totally alone in the car, and I see this happening, and everything goes into slow motion for me. And I find myself saying out loud, get away. Get away from the truck, as if the beagle can hear me. But he can't. And the man eases into his stop, and the beagle's still, like, obsessed with his hubcap or something. I don't know what's going on. So I'm at my stop, and I see the truck now. He sees that he can pull forward, and he starts pulling forward. And doesn't that little dog just keep running beside his truck? And I find myself saying, get away, get away. Next thing I know, the man puts on the gas, and he starts going faster because he's coming out of the stop sign. Had no idea, I'm sure, that the dog was there. And the little beagle turned inward. And for the first time ever in my life, I watched the dog literally watch from beginning to end the tire of the truck go through the center of his body. I watched him get run over, like a view from as far away as I am to the Coxes. It was nasty. Watched this huge truck go through the middle of the beagle's body, and the truck just kept going. And the dog was in the middle of the intersection, and his head was flopping and flipping, and his tail was flopping and flipping, and the middle of him was just crushed to the road. Now, I don't have a dog. I haven't had a dog since I was really little, so I'm not particularly a dog person. I'm not any kind of medical person. But when I saw the dog get hit, something in me said, you got to pull over and help this dog. Now, if no one else would have stopped, I have no idea what I would have done, except stand there and scream probably. But I did pull over. I pulled my car over into a driveway, and I ran into the intersection where the dog was still wriggling at both ends, but the middle smashed to the ground. And just as I got to the dog, another woman pulled up, and a man came running from behind where the truck was. And this man, I could tell he had tears in his eyes, and he ran to the dog, and he knelt down on the ground with the dog, and he threw his coat over top of the dog. And this other woman looked at him, and I looked at him, and he looked at us, and he said, I'm the dog's owner. He said, I was in the car behind the truck, and I watched him get hit, and the man began to cry. The other woman said that she had to go, and she took off. So there I am with this gentleman and his car on the road. Another woman comes past, veers off, and she doesn't stop, but she throws a blanket out and says, you can keep the blanket, and keeps on going. So he took the blanket, and he wrapped the dog that was in his coat. Now it's in his blanket, and he was on the pavement with the dog who was still wriggling. And all I could do was stand there. I said, I'm so sorry, you know. And the man, he went, and he's like, I have to get him off the road. I have to get him off the road. And he picked him up. Now, my Taurus, weirdly enough, was parked in this gentleman's driveway. Didn't know it was his driveway because he wasn't in his driveway. They were driving through the intersection. And he looked, and he said, I don't know whose car this is, but I'd like to put my dog on the car. And I looked at him, and I said, well, it's my car. Yeah, definitely, put him on the car. So he set him on the trunk of the car. And at this point, the dog had stopped moving, you know. And the gentleman who ran him over, who was an elderly man, finally showed up. He didn't know that he'd run him over. But the dog owner's wife had run him down. She was mad. And she had run him down and found him, and now the two of them were there, and the police were on the way because she had called the police because there was a hit and run on her dog, you know, and she was so upset. So we're standing there, and now an elderly gentleman enters the scene. Now the dog owner's crying, and his wife shows up, and she is more than crying. She is sobbing uncontrollably. uncontrollably. A few days before Christmas, her dog has died, you know. She is sobbing. And all I could do was put my hand on her shoulder. I don't know these people, you know. Put my hand on her shoulder, told her how sorry I was. And the elderly man who hit the dog now starts to tear up. And he's feeling so guilty. I can't believe I did this, he said. And he looked at me, he goes, you know I didn't mean to do it. You saw, you know I didn't mean to do it. And the guilt is just overwhelming him. And he starts to cry. And the man is crying. And the dog owner's wife is crying. And she's sobbing. And I'm standing there. And the old man says, can we take him to the vet? And the dog owner put his hand down on the dog. And he looked under the blanket. He said, no, he's gone. So he's died on my trunk. And everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's crying. And I'm saying, God, this is the family you led me to bless. All I wanted to do was buy them some toys. So I'm standing here freezing, shivering, shaking on this cold, gray, bitter day. Come to find out, the woman said, I realized that her dog dying was just the gateway to something deeper. She said, we were behind the truck that hit the dog on the way to the hospital to pick up my mom from the hospital who's had cancer for 2 years. They told me to come get her and bring her home to die on hospice. So now the woman is sobbing more, and I realize it's not so much about the dog. It's about her mom, you know. So still I'm standing here with these strangers who are saying words that I've never heard before. Swearing, lost people, you know. And as we're standing there and I'm trying to comfort everybody, I now look down and I see the dog's blood dripping through my taillight onto the ground below. So the dog starts, its internal bleeding is coming out, running through my taillight down into my trunk, and there's a huge puddle of blood right below. So very calmly I say, I think he's bleeding. And the gentleman, the dog owner, ran to his house, got Windex, got rags, and, you know, we started cleaning up the blood. I said, don't worry about it, you know, and he tried to clean it as best as he could. And I stood there with the weeping woman because her mom is dying. Now the teenage boy has come out and he's upset. The dog is dead. The police have shown up. We have the guilty man who's run over the dog who doesn't know what to do with his guilt. A terrible situation. And as I stood in the driveway while with all this going on, I thought to myself, this is the family you wanted me to bless. Okay. And I stood there and I thought to myself, at the intersection on Pennsylvania Avenue, that it's really representative of the intersection of life. You know? We are walking around every day, and who knows everybody we're looking at is facing. Amen? I would have passed those people at that intersection, turned left as they were coming towards me, and I would have never known that in that Jeep, there was a family who was on the way to get their mother to bring her home to die. I would have never known that. Totally lost people. And I thought, here I am at this intersection, and death is all around me. The death of animals, the death of human beings. After the whole thing was over, I never got out a Bible. I didn't witness and tell them how to be saved. I just put my arms around them, told them I was praying for them, stood with them. And after over an hour, drove home. When my husband got home, I said, look, I explained the whole thing. I said, we need to go back to that house. We need to go back to the house. I got a fruit basket, I put my chocolate chip cookies, and I took one of my devotional books. And I said, we just have to go back and see if they'll let us in. So we did. We drove up to the house, and they were hesitant at first. I told him who I was. Do you remember who I was? And he didn't really want to let me in at first, but then he said, oh, come on in. And when I got in, I saw that the mother-in-law was already there in a hospital bed. And, you know, this was just hours later. And I gave them the fruit basket and the cookies, and the woman came out and I said, look, I just want you to know I'm so sorry for what you're going through. I want you to have this. And I gave her a devotional book as kind of a witness. And I said, just let us know if there's anything that we can do. And that's all we did, and we left. Then I went home that night, and I don't know what time it was, but not too many hours later, I got a phone call that my uncle, my mom's brother, had died. That same night. And I went down to my uncle's house, and I watched. We sat around his body with the family, and I watched his body turn that odd color that a body turns after it's dead for a while. And we all sat there in the living room around the body of a man who had struggled with cancer, a Christian, whose spirit was with Jesus, but whose shell was still laying there. And I thought, God, what are you doing to me today? What in the world are you doing? It was a day of death. But when I sat there with my uncle and I thought back to the dog that I watched get run over, and I thought of the woman whose mother was in hospice, and I thought of all the death that surrounded me, I realized something. This is it. It's everywhere. Who's going to escape it? Anybody? I thought, this is life. This is where we're at. Sadness and guilt and death is all around us. And yet, as we sat there crying over my uncle's body, I knew that his spirit was with the Lord. And as I stood in the intersection with the dying dog and the crying people, even though I experienced their pain, there was something in me that said, you know, there's a hope beyond this. You know? And how many of you have ever experienced that feeling in the midst of great tragedy? While the tragedy is weighing on you, you stand there and you think, but I know there's a hope beyond this. Amen. And it's hard to understand. It's hard to come up from out under that when it's so much around us. But my heart went to this scripture that I had read maybe the day before. And I thought, as I stood in the intersection, and I thought as I sat beside the bed of my uncle's body, this thing. We know that we are from God. Now I watched the dog get run over, and I watched the unsaved woman cry about her mom. And I looked at my uncle's body after he had died, and the funeral soon after. And I thought about how every single one of us is going to be in that place unless Jesus Christ returns first. And I thought of this statement that John made. We know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. In one moment of time, I realized two things. The devil, the prince of the power of the air, is wreaking havoc and destruction all around the world. But I realized, standing there in the midst of it, that I am from God. And so I have a hope that transcends that. And all it did for me that day was make me realize that if I am from God, and this is what sin and death does, I better be about my business of destroying what sin does. Amen? Sometimes God has to bring us to a point where we stop. You know, that was like a day or two before Christmas. I can't even remember. But sometimes God has to bring us to a point, no matter what tragedy or a problem that it is, he has to bring us to a point where we realize what's really important. And what's really important is that dog got run through the middle because we sin. You realize that? The wages of sin is death. So I, Shelley Prindle, as a sinner, am culpable for all the death in the world through my sin. I hate my sin because I hate that dog getting run over. Amen? And that woman crying because her mother is about to die of cancer and my uncle struggling with cancer and then seeing his body lie there, I hate that because death represents all that sin does. Now, I'm not saying my personal sin is responsible for that dog getting run over, but you understand that we being sinners, our rebellion against God has caused this thing to be set into motion. And I think sometimes we need to see the grand clash of what we wish was compared to what really is so that we begin to wish for what really should be. Amen? And so as I thought about that intersection, I thought about the intersection of life, and I thought, if I could walk every day, if I could go into Walmart every day, if I could come to church every day, if I could go to youth group every day, if I could stand in my kitchen every day, if I could go to the gas station every day, if I could study in my office every day, if I could talk to people every day, if I could go to Panera Bread and have coffee with friends every day and think this thought, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, but I'm from God, and I better be doing something about it. Amen? Amen? I better be doing something about it, because here's what John said. He said, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, but we know that the Son of God has come. And he has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God, and he is eternal life. After I got home, before my husband got there, I couldn't stand the thought of the blood in my taillight. Would that freak anybody else out? So I went home, and I had called Bree, and she said, get some hot soapy water and pour it through there before it gets stuck in there. So I went home, and I got hot soapy water in a bucket, and I started pouring hot water down. And as I poured the hot water down into my taillight, reddish pink water went out the bottom until it was clear, until I knew that it was clean. And I literally got tears in my eyes. I stood back and I looked at my car and I thought, now Jesus, your blood dripped from the cross to cure this whole problem of blood being shed everywhere. That's deep. You know, God cares about dogs getting run over. How many of you believe that? Cares about every part of his creation. And when I saw the blood of that dog coming out my taillight, I thought, all this blood that has been shed throughout history, all this death, all this dying, all these wars, all people who are headed for death and destruction has been cured by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, all the blood that's been shed throughout time because of sin and death, is not a match for one drop of blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Amen? And so God, as I stood there washing that out of my taillight, I thought, listen, I, Shelley Prindle, know who is true. He is the true God, and he is eternal life. When we share eternal life with somebody, it's not like we're giving them an object, we're giving them Jesus. And that day, all I wanted to do, I had prayed, God send me to a family to bless, and I realized it wasn't about financial blessing. He wanted me to like stand and show somebody the compassion of Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. After all this that John has said in these verses, he ends by saying, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Bria did an awesome lesson in youth group last week on idolatry. And I want to tell you something. I think John closed with that. talks about the whole world lying in the power of the evil one, but us knowing that we're from God. And I think he closed with that because our greatest danger is idolatry. Because I thought something that day. We're in way too much of a rush, and we are way too selfish on a regular basis to stand at the intersection of we are from God and the whole world is in trouble. Amen? That's everything. We are from God and the whole world is in trouble. And if you put those two things together, that means we better be about God's business. We better start caring more about all that death and sin has done than we do about our own little agendas and our own busy schedules. Amen? It's time to put those things on the back burner and realize that we are from God and the world is dying. And what have we done? And I thought, did I pray that to bless the family just because it was Christmas time? Or do I pray it every single day in my heart, God, show me where the hurt, where the death and destruction is? Because here's the thing. I'd rather turn on reruns of Andy Griffith than think about the fact that people are dying everywhere. I would. I'd rather go to the mall and shop some more to blind myself to the fact that there's a spiritual battle going on. I'd rather do a whole bunch of other things than realize that I'm falling very short in my mission to show a dying world that we are from God. Amen? And so at the intersection of the whole world's falling apart, but we are from God, the question becomes, what are we doing? Are we keeping ourselves from idolatry because we worship all kinds of other things except for God? We worship self and our schedules and our time. And there are people all around us. And they're dying. And actually, we are too. If we don't yield ourselves, we're giving in to the same problem that the world has. And it's a battle. And there are moments like that. There are moments when you can see the clash between death and life. You can see the clash between they are lost and we have this eternal life that we need to give. So keep yourselves, he said, free from idols. Now I want to close by going back up to the verse that preceded all this. He said, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. Because Jesus will protect him and the evil one does not touch him. I hate sin because it destroys people. I hate sin because dogs get run over, because people die of cancer. Because the whole world is falling apart as a result of sin. And you can know how much someone really believes in Jesus by how much they hate sin. Amen? It's a battle. And it matters what you say. Every sin counts. Every word, every action, every thought. And John said, look, you're going to know who's really a child of God because people who understand the destruction of sin and its ultimate outcome will battle it with every fiber of their being. They will keep themselves from idolatry. They will stand at the intersection of life and say, I see all this. I know I'm from God. And I need to show the world Jesus Christ. I need to put myself on the back burner. So I'd like you, in light of that, to bow your heads with me for a minute and let's pray and ask God to show us that intersection. Father, we come before you tonight. And we pray just exactly what John penned in this part of his letter. We know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. This whole unsaved world, and Lord, even us, we're under the curse of sin right now. And the devil holds a lot of sway. But Jesus, we know you conquered him on the cross and you shed your blood. And I pray that every adult and every child in this room would know you love your creation so much, God. I know when I saw that dog struggling in the street, I had to pull over because you cared that he was dying. The Bible says you care about every sparrow that falls to the ground. Certainly every beagle that gets run over. But how much more so? Every human being who comes to the end of his or her life and faces death. And Jesus, you shed your blood on the cross to stop the power of death. Now, we don't see it completely fulfilled yet, but we will. But wow, am I selfish. Wow, do I worry and fight and argue and work towards things and about things that don't really matter. While the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And I am from God. And I should be able to show that world who you are. And so I pray in Jesus' name that with the conviction that you brought to my heart through that intersection that day, that you would bring conviction to our hearts tonight, God, all of us, to stand in every moment of life, no matter where we are, at home, at the store, at the place that we work, walking in the park, standing on the street, at the post office, at school. Wherever we find ourselves, God, help us to remember we're at the intersection of we are from God and the whole world's in trouble. And at that intersection, the answer is show the world who Jesus is. And help us to remember, God, that the reason people have to die and the reason animals have to die and the reason the world is falling apart is because of our sin. And the reason the Son of God had to die is because of my sin. So I hate my sin. And may we all hate our sin more and more and more. May we hate everything about the darkness that destroys life. May we hate everything about sin whose wages are death. And may we stand at every intersection and remember that we are from God and fight tooth and nail to live with righteousness, to keep ourselves free from idolatry, to sacrifice the time that it takes to know you more, and to live the kind of life that pleases you, Lord. And would you lead every person in this sanctuary to a person who lies in the sway of a dark world? As you did me that day, Lord, would you continue to guide us and lead us to people? Sometimes you're not calling us to preach the gospel or to read a verse of the Bible to someone. Sometimes you're just calling us to stand and see who Jesus is, to show them that there's a hope that transcends the pain and the misery, that there's a compassion that reaches out, and that comes from you. So I pray you bring us to many intersections, maybe not as dramatically as it happened that day, but bring us to many intersections to stand for you. We love you, Lord. We believe in the hope that's on the way. But as we live in a broken world, help us to remember we are from God. And Jesus, you are eternal life. Help us to prioritize and help us to find you in every situation that you've called us to. And lastly, Lord, I pray and I thank you for the scripture that says you are eternal life. And when a man or a woman like my uncle trusts in you, and we take the shell of the body and put it to rest, that body will rise again. That person is not really gone. And I thank you for that hope, Lord. Help us to know the hope that we have and to not take it for granted. And may we live every moment with the end in mind. When I come to the end of my days, Lord, my last days and my last moments, I want to be able to close my eyes and fly to you, knowing that I gave everything I could at every intersection that I stood at. And I pray you would do that for all of us. You are eternal life. You are our hope. God, help us to think very clearly about what we want to be, our legacy, and the outcome of our lives, because every moment we live is taking us there. Every intersection we stand at is taking us there. And so we love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for what you've done in the eternal life, not only that you give, but the eternal life that you are. Help us to know we are from God. And in a dark and evil world, we will share your love. We will see your victory one day. And I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.